Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed your holiday, Christmas, as well as New Year's Eve. If you get a chance, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or I put up any brand new content. A couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. So I kind of made an ass of myself, people. The last show that I did, I was talking about how all the radio guys, they shut it down the last 2 weeks of the year. And I was talking about how, oh, I'm gonna work all the way straight through. Man, that really came back to bite me in the ass, because I ended up going to the Florida Gators versus the UCF Knights football game. And I was a little apprehensive. Omicron was running rampant. It hadn't gotten as bad as it is right now, but I went to it. A lot of people there. I went and hung out with my good friend Colby Urban, who is a county councilman in St. Cloud. He was an intern of mine at Real Radio 104.1 with the Monsters, and he graduated from the University of Central Florida, and he wanted to invite me out because I always used to bust his balls and stuff about, oh, UCF, they don't have a tough schedule. Well, I went to the game, didn't have to pay for the ticket, but I got double kicked in the balls because not only did the Gators get their ass beat, I ended up getting COVID. And I got to tell you, I don't want anybody to think that I'm downplaying it, because I know a lot of people have died from it, especially people that are at high risk. I've talked about this. This is the best in shape that I've ever been in my life. But I got to tell you, that first day, man, it really took me down. And I got to thank Dr. Dan Diaco. My producer, Vulture, reached out to him, said, hey, Tuttle's got the COVID, got the Rona. And I got hooked up with the regimen that Dr. Dan's been giving everybody. I highly suggest, if you do get it and you're worried that it's going to take you down, go get that monoclonal antibody infusion. Because I was definitely able to kick out of it. It really did help me out. But I got to tell you, man, just being worn out, extremely exhausted. I'm still kind of getting over it a little bit right now. My voice has been a little messed up, so I do apologize if my voice sounds even more annoying than it usually is. But Dr. Dan, I got that monoclonal antibody thing. He also prescribed me the ivermectin. And I know that's a real big hot topic, not the poser store that everybody goes and buy their band t-shirts. I used to be that guy. I go to Hot Topic all the time. It always had a very unusual smell. Some stores have just got that smell. You know, if you walk into a head shop, yeah, it smells like patchouli, a bunch of hippies, a hippie convict there. But then I also, the ivermectin is a hot topic because I bring that up because everybody was on Joe Rogan's ass about taking it. And before you go say, oh, Tuttle, why would you be taking horse dewormer? No. There are two different things when it comes to that. And I used to be one of those people. I was like, oh, Rogan and them, they're taking horse dewormer. Got to tell you. The stuff that they prescribed me, oh, it was so good. So good. It knocked that Rona right out of me. But like I said, I'm still dealing with the extreme exhaustion. I've been having to move a lot of furniture to help my mom move into her new place. I'm still living out here at the Hobo Fish Camp right now. And the guy that actually owns the place, man, he won't talk to me anymore. Definitely will not talk to me. So he had the woman that's working the front desk come up. I was like, hey, when are you getting out of here? And I'm like, look, man, still testing positive for COVID. And I'm not going to get out of here. I'm going to take my dear sweet time. Now, if the guy that owns the Hobo Fish Camp would have been a way nicer guy than what he has been, and if you're new to the show, the guy calls the cops on me once or twice a year for absolutely no reason at all. And if the guy would have been a lot cooler and not been a complete dick to me nonstop since I've been here, that's the thing about it. I'm a nice guy. You could not find anybody in this park that's going to say a bad word about me. I'll give an example. Any of the older people that are going to the dumpster to take out their garbage, I'm like, hey, ma'am, can I help take care of this for you? I'm always polite. I say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, to all my elders out here. Just for some reason, this guy absolutely has an axe to grind with me. And it, like I said, if he would have been way cooler, I would be cool. And I warned him. I warned him as soon as I left this place. Guess what I was going to do? Because I told him the last thing, because he's tried to get me kicked out of here a lot. And I told him the last thing you want in your life is for me to be kicked out. Because guess what? It's going to give me so much content. Because once I'm out of here, I'm going to be picketing out on the public sidewalk right out on US 1. When you turn down onto H.H. Birch Road to come down here and check it out, I'm going to be out there holding signs. Might do it once a week. Might do it once every other week. Because I got all those pictures. You guys saw the pictures of the water that I put in a gallon jug that looked like the darkest, deepest, strongest iced tea. Hell, it almost looked like coffee. That's how bad the water looked. I'm going to have a billboard up there. Be like, come get some of this Flint, Michigan water. Because it did. I swear to God, it looked like somebody took a dump in a gallon jug, filled it up with water, and just shook it for like an hour. That's how bad it is. And I'm not exaggerating at all. And guess what? I'm allowed to do it. See, I'm not a violent person. I would never do anything in my life to get myself in trouble. But guess what? I'm going to have fun with it. I'm going to have so much fun with it. Because then, when I'm not here anymore, I'm going to make this guy's life a living hell. Before my dad died, he was a complete idiot to my dad. He was a complete dick to my mom all the time as well, too. And guess what? Retribution is coming your way, John, the owner of the Hobo Fish Camp. Is it going to come back to bite you in the ass, my friend? Once again, I know that I made a complete ass of myself, made myself look like the biggest hypocrite. I almost think that I jinxed myself because I was talking all big and bad about, I'm gonna broadcast all the way straight through the holidays, and then the Rona took me down. I think the Rona was kind of just trying to balance out the karma, even though I don't believe in karma, but I'll say that it was karma. But the great thing about when I worked in radio, when we would take the final 2 weeks of every year off, is that we would always come back having a lot of topics, a lot of audio and stuff to discuss. I'm going to get into talking about the James Webb telescope. I know that it's going to make me seem like the biggest space nerd in the world, but I think this is a really, really big deal. I don't know if I'll get to it today, but I am going to get to it this week. Talk about how important the James Webb telescope is. And I'll leave you with this before I get into my first topic. But everybody's like, ooh, you know, we could have fed all these homeless people. We could have, you know, spent more money on the fight against COVID. No, we're going to be able to see the birth of stars. And I think it's going to be one of the biggest scientific advancements that we've all made in my lifetime and lifetimes to come. But one of the stories that everybody was talking about, and I know a lot of people are like, ooh, human lives are more important than animal lives. You know what? When it's something that you've done that's so moronic, so stupid, I do believe in James Darwin. I believe in survival of the fittest. I believe that when people make idiotic decisions and they end up dying for it, yeah, it's sad, but guess what? We don't need those type of people in our society. And this guy over in, I think it was down in Fort Myers or Southwest Florida, the guy that worked at the zoo, I think it was a janitor, and like a dumbass, he stuck his hand in the tiger cage. Come on, people. I know we don't have tigers roaming in the natural habitat in the United States anywhere, but we've all watched enough like natural or National Geographic or Steve Attenborough in those wildlife things that they do on BBC to know that you don't stick your hand in a goddamn tiger's cage. Who knew that a tiger could make you find religion and start talking and speaking in tongues? Because this guy, this tiger, and you know what? I probably would find religion as well, too, if my arm was in a tiger's mouth and he was trying to rip off my arm because I was dumb enough to try to stick it in a tiger's cage and try to pet him or feed him. I went to a church, one of the oddest experiences I've ever had in my life. I stayed with one of my best friends, and they went to one of these, like, Presbyterian churches, and you guys know that I'm not the biggest religious type guy. I'm not saying that there's not a higher power. I don't look down on people. I do think organized religion, especially the Catholic Church, is absolutely horrendous for some of the crimes that they commit against children. But man, I got weirded the F out because all these people started speaking in tongues and I was like, what the hell is going on? These guys take a bunch of acid or drop a couple of or eat some mushroom caps before they came in here, because these people and do I really think they're speaking in tongues? No. These are people that are just wanting to prove or act like they're religious than some of the other people in the congregation. It's a big look at me when you start speaking in tongues.
Chaotic scene forcing deputies to act instantly. Minutes earlier, deputies say that River Rosenquist stuck his hand in a tiger's enclosure.
With all the zoos and stuff that we have here in Florida, because I'm a big news junkie, not like Sean Wasson, middays at Real Radio 104.1, but I am a news junkie. And I've covered a lot of news stories through my years of broadcasting, my 20 years of broadcasting. And like the last one that I remember is somebody being dumb like River, that thought he would be okay to stick his hand in a tiger's cage. That dude that hid in SeaWorld right before it closed, and he thought it would be a good idea to strip down nude and jump in the killer wave enclosure with Tillicum. And Tillicum had a bunch of bodies on his tab. Remember, he killed that Dawn Bronchano. Now, she was a trainer, but also at the same time, I know you love whales, but they're still animals. And it's still a sad thing that Dawn died when Tillicum grabbed her by the hair and pulled her under the water. But this dude, stripped down nude, we never did find out if he had like a whale fetish, if he was trying to get in there and have sex with Tillicum's blowhole on top of his head or something. But they ended up finding him dead. He was just laying right over nude on top of Tillicum's body when the trainers came in the next morning, because guess what? You don't swim nude with a killer whale. And guess what you also don't do? You don't stick your hand in a mother effing tiger's cage, because it is a big that'll learn you moment.
The animal grabbed it, nearly ripping it off. Somehow, he was able to use his phone to call for help.
Hey, help me! Help me! I'm at the Naples Zoo! Help me, please! I'm at the Naples Zoo!
Okay, what's happening?
Also, this shows that the 911 operators, they don't get enough credit, because I'm telling you right now, if I was working the 911 and I took this call, I'd be like, hey, buddy, you know it's against the law to be pranking 911? And guess what? If you really do have your arm in a tiger's cage, like I said, it's one of those it'll learn you moments. And these cops that could have been out there, you know, probably defending the community, had to go out there and shoot this tiger because this dumbass. Same thing goes with that woman, that bad mom that was not paying attention to her kid, and he got too close to the railing and fell in that gorilla, Harambe's cage. They ended up having to shoot Harambe. Now Harambe and this tiger are up in heaven being like, hey, we were just doing gorilla things. I was just doing tiger things. And when somebody sticks their hand, which I'm a carnivore, what am I supposed to do? If you're a religious person, God created tigers. Guess what? It's ingrained in their head. I don't care how much they've been around human beings. You don't stick your hand in a tiger's cage.
I'm being attacked by a tiger. Please, please, please.
Deputies say that before the attack.
Also, nobody else mentioned we live in the state of Florida. Guess what we have in the state of Florida? The Castle Doctrine. We also have Stand Your Ground. I don't think this tiger deserved to get shot because he was standing his ground. He was defending his castle. And this janitor, who probably had a tiger fetish, once again, I'm not trying to be a shock jock or anything and saying that this dude that got killed by the killer whale telecom, the little kid was, innocent. It was just a bad mom not paying attention to her kid, and he fell in the gorilla cage. And this guy, who knows? Maybe he was trying to molest this tiger. Maybe he was reaching for a tiger penis. You know, they say tiger penis. A lot of the Asians over there, not like singling out anything, but they believe it's a big aphrodisiac. Maybe he was like, man, my old lady's kicking it out wide. Can't keep up with her. Can't satisfy her sexually. And I need to get some of that tiger penis. And the tiger just wasn't having it.
Rosenquist jumped a barrier and may have been trying to feed or even pet the tiger. The zoo was closed, and Rosenquist was a part of a third-party cleaning crew that was hired to clean up those public areas. Zoo staff didn't even know something was wrong.
Somebody got attacked by the tiger inside, ripped her arm off.
Oh my, are you serious?
Yes, we're serious. You hear all the lights and sirens? This isn't a joke.
Yep. I know the cops are just doing their job, but come on. Listen, the tiger is in an enclosure, and if the cops came up and was like, hey, there's a guy in your house that is actually getting mauled by a tiger right now, I'd be like, yes, this is a great joke. April Fools, even though it's December.
Deputies and a confused zoo staff member then made their way through the grounds.
The tiger is right over here.
Eventually hearing Rosenquist yelling for help.
Yeah, you hear?
Oh my God.
As the deputies got closer to the enclosure, they couldn't believe what they saw.
Oh my God, is that real?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people made fun of Sheriff Kevin Barry. He was the sheriff of Orange County. A lot of the local government were like, hey, why did you buy all those elephant guns? And you know what? You got to give him credit for his forward thinking, because you got Animal Kingdom, you got Gatorland, you got all types of dangerous animals in the city of Orlando, Orange County alone, with Animal Kingdom. And I got to give him credit, because to think that, hey, we may need a elephant gun. But, you know, if I was a cop, I don't think I would have shot the tiger. I really don't. I at least would have hesitated a little bit. Because back to that, we don't need stupid people like this living among us. Because what does that guy have to offer? What does he have to offer society if he's dumb enough to stick his hand in a tiger's cage? I would have blown the dude's arm off, because, come on, I'm telling you right now, that guy's arm has to be like it was stuck in a meat grinder. You know, where they stick the meat in those little sausage things, they grind it down, and they put it in those little casings. Hell, sausage might be too good of a description for what his hand looked like after that tiger. Just blow it off right at the elbow.
Tiger was latched onto his mangled arm, refusing to let go. Deputies immediately tried a non-lethal approach.
You got a tranquilizer?
No.
But no one had a tranquilizer.
I think they even tried to tase the tiger. They actually tried to pepper spray him. And guess what? I've had that done. I've been hit by a police taser before. Not because I was doing something wrong. I did it for a dumbass bit on the radio show one time. Hell, I think it might have been Bubba. I did it on Bubba's show. And I think I also did it on Calta's show as well, too. And the pepper spray, I've been hit straight in the face with bear mace as well, too. Doesn't do any good. If it didn't bring down a nerd like myself to his knees, that tiger was just laughing at it. Maybe he was like, hey, Thanks for the bear mace, because this guy was a little bland. His arm was a little bland. I needed a little bit of hot sauce to get through it.
Body cam video shows the intense moments before the deputy shot the animal.
I'm sorry. I know that some people might think I'm being insensitive, but that cracks me up every time. That tiger did make him straight up start speaking in tongues.
The injured tiger retreated to the back of its cage and was later found dead. The 8-year-old tiger named Echo has been at the zoo since December of 2019.
R.I.P. Echo. R.I.P. Echo. You're just doing tiger things. What? Instincts? That primordial ooze that you have in your brain that says, hey, somebody just stuck his hand in there. I'm going to maul it off because I'm hungry. You know, I they always say that these predators, they get the taste for human blood. I guess human blood must be pretty damn good. Because Echo, just doing tiger things, ends up getting blasted in the face. Cops probably emptied the whole 9mm magazine right into his face. And Echo was like, I'm just doing tiger things. Why are you shooting me, buddy?
The zoo released a statement saying, while Echo will be deeply missed, they support the county sheriff's office in addressing an incredibly difficult situation with a human life at risk.
Could you even consider that a human life? I think even babies, infants with Down syndrome know better enough than to stick their little toddler hands in a tiger cage. Like I said, this is the type of people we don't need living in our country right now. I know that it sounded insensitive, but if that guy's dumb enough to do that, what else is he dumb enough to do?
They also state that resolving the situation with the tranquilizer dart would not have been appropriate given the immediate crisis.
Look, I don't want any of you guys to think that I value animals' lives over human lives. No, I don't. I don't at all. But this tiger was in a secure cage. This guy, once again, tiger was just protecting his territory, standing his ground, and he ends up getting killed. And the guy that was dumb enough to do it gets to live. This doesn't seem fair to me. All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. This is going to be my first interview that I've done while dealing with this crummy COVID and stuff. But on the line with me right now is David and Carla. David, how are you? And Carla, how are you today?
We're doing actually great, Patrick.
We're great, Patrick.
Before we get into the interview, because I got so many questions and stuff, tell people a little bit about yourselves and about the book that you guys wrote and how they can find it.
Sure. The book is called The Gift of Past Lives with Mother Isabella God and Elizabeth. It's about a spiritual experience that we had where we encountered memories that were spontaneous during meditation of our past lives.
Now, the book I've been reading, and it's very, very interesting. I want to talk about some of the past lives and stuff you guys talked about in your bio and stuff. But if people want to find the book and people want to check out your website, where can they find all your information?
Our website is thegiftofpastlives.com. Our books are all on Amazon, but there are also links on our website for the books that we've written.
Now, David and Carla, David, now I was doing a bit of research. You're a medical doctor, correct? Or a physician?
Correct.
And now I believe in a lot of this stuff, and that's why I'm so interested in it. But you wouldn't think that somebody that is into science, into the medical field. Carla, what did you do as well before you wrote this book?
Well, I was actually the office manager in the medical office that Dave purchased. I came along with the practice.
It was kind of like an auction. I'm not comparing you to an auction, but he bought the business and you came with it and stuff.
That's correct. I mean,
she was a bargain.
But being in the medical field, though, you wouldn't think a lot of people in the medical field would believe in this type of stuff. How did you guys discover this?
Well, it actually happened when medical records started to be introduced and forced into electronic medical records. It was incredibly stressful for us. And we're working large hours trying to get all the records placed into the electronic system. And I was really burned out. And Carla was just concerned.
So I decided to introduce him to meditation. I gave him a choice. I said, meditation, or do you want me to call a counselor? Because, yeah, he was normally like Fred Flintstone or Yogi Bear, but he was so crabby. So he decided and opted for meditation, and we decided to do it as an office.
And so we started to meditate because we knew there was lots of positive benefits there. And it actually did help. I calmed down almost immediately because we were spending so much time on the computer. When I started to meditate, we at least spent 30 minutes in a row with all the computers, all the electronic stuff shut off.
And it was going to bring... I was going to bring that up, guys, because with all the stimulation that we have in this day and age and stuff, people can't stay still. They always got to be entertained. They always got to have something shiny in front of them. You also got to realize a lot of people think, I can't take 30 minutes. I'm so busy. I got to check email. I got to check out my social media and stuff. What would you say to the beginners about trying out meditation? How do you get people to just take 30 minutes and check it out?
Well, a lot of people work out daily for their mental health and their physical health. Meditation has the same effects. You take a shower, you work out, you eat, you make your bed. Meditation should be implemented into that daily like anything else. Make the 30 minutes. If you don't truly have 30 minutes, make it 20 minutes. But be consistent, do it religiously. The benefits are so great, you will not.
What are some of those benefits?
So Patrick, many people need to realize that many Fortune 500 companies actually meditate because they find that their employees are significantly more productive. So it's never a waste of time. The benefits include increase in stress reduction. You actually have an increase in dopamine and serotonin, which are things that we actually use in medicine to try to fight depression. So that naturally occurs an increase. Increase in melatonin, so you sleep better. You actually deal with anxiety.
What about the immune system with the pandemic we're going in?
Absolutely. The immune system improves. Actually, blood sugar improves. Blood pressure improves. And then, interestingly, I was looking at this, but cortisol, which is that fat hormone that we have with stress, it actually decreases. And it's interesting that the first year we meditated, I sort of set a goal to lose 2 pounds a week, and I lost 104 pounds.
Wow.
And I didn't really change that much else. I mean, I was healthy, and I was trying to exercise and do the right things for my patients, but the weight came off that I had been carrying for stress for years.
Meditation. What about helping people that have a hard time sleeping?
Because it does increase melatonin.
Now, what would you suggest to people? I mean, do you almost kind of like go into a meditative state when you're trying to sleep? Because a lot of people have a hard time shutting their brains off.
Absolutely. And we do close our eyes. We do use calming music. And it's very difficult. That's why a lot of people give up on meditation, because it can take a few weeks till you're actually calmed down enough to really get into it deeply.
Now, you guys talk about past lives and stuff as well, too. This is where it kind of loses me a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit about this. Explain a little bit of the past lives and stuff. I mean, have you guys look back and can you tell me a little bit about some of the past lives and stuff, or is that something you can do?
Absolutely, Patrick. And here's what happened with meditation. And we had a spontaneous memory, and I was sitting during meditation, and I remembered standing in an alley, and I remembered being shot, and looking across the alley, I saw Carla standing there. Now, I say Carla, but it looked like Carla, except that she was younger than I knew. She still had the same steel blue eyes, but she was dressed like a flapper.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you.
Okay. And so I told her this, and I thought maybe I was hallucinating and maybe I was losing it a little bit. But as we continued to meditate, I got more of the same memory. And I found out more about that experience. And I found out that I, in memory, that I had met her at a wedding of a man named Angelo. And that I had asked her out for breakfast the next day. And when I went to breakfast, we took a walk along the Chicago coastline. Now, we live in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And we took a walk along the Chicago coastline. And she was telling me how she was born in Bullock, Georgia. And their name was Ruby Donaldson. And her parents were James and Anna Donaldson. And that she worked for this man named Angelo at a speakeasy called DeAndre's in Chicago.
Wow.
And I knew that we met it at the wedding of the man named Angelo. And Carla went out looking.
I actually got onto Ancestry.com. And Ruby Donaldson was a very common name in Georgia at that time. But I was able, with the details provided, to find Ruby Donaldson, born in 1904 in Bullock, Georgia, to James and Anna Donaldson, one of 11 children. I went further to find newspaper articles from Chicago, and they were of a wedding of a man named Angelo Jenna to Lucille Spinola, January the 10th, 1925, which corroborated the information that Dave was given, that we met at a wedding on January the 10th, 1925 in Chicago, Illinois, at Ashland Auditorium.
And does this explain deja vu for people?
It does to some extent, Patrick. And we kept going with this and running with this, because I thought, as a physician, again, maybe I was imagining things. And we found research studies done by the University of Virginia, the Department of Perceptual Studies, and they have been studying children since the 1960s, and they have about 2,500 cases of children who have spontaneous memories when they're 3 or 4 years old. And they've gone in and investigated those kids and found the person that the kid says he was in the past life.
Can I bring up something? I've always thought this, okay? Sure. What if the light at the end of the tunnel that everybody talks about, because I'm not a religious person per se, do I put it that it doesn't exist? No, because I can't prove it doesn't exist. But, you know, everybody talks about that light at the end of the tunnel whenever you die. What if that light at the end of the tunnel is the lights of you being born, and further you get away from your birth, you still have those memories? Does that make sense, or is that way out there?
That is not very far out there, Patrick. We've discovered that that tunnel that people talk about when they have an NDE is the same birth canal type of tunnel.
Wow.
You see the light and you're going toward heaven or this non-spiritual realm. And when you're coming down, you start to see the light as you're being born.
And that's why you have memories when you're a younger child then, right? Because you forget those as you get older?
Correct. You start to fill your conscious mind with all the current things that are happening, and it starts to block this. We also found, because again, the physician in me was very curious, is during the time between wake and sleep, during meditation, and actually people who have past life regression, all of those people experience an increase in alpha and theta waves in the brain, which are notified when people have memory. And when people access the subconscious memory, the alpha and theta waves start to go up. So some of your past life memories are actually saved in your subconscious, even from your past life.
Now, Carla, what you guys talk about God and stuff. Now, is it a particular God or is it just a higher entity?
It's the God.
Yes.
You can give whatever name you want to, Tao, Source, Creator, but it's the God. And if you've ever had an experience with God, you will believe in God. You feel it.
Yes. So, Patrick, again, we were raised Catholic, so we have certainly a bias built in. However, in all of our experiences, and we've actually met God, That's why the name of the book is Mother Isabella Guy and Elizabeth. We met Carla's mother, who had died 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. We met Isabella, who is my spirit guide. We met God, and we met Elizabeth, who is Carla's spirit guide, during all of these meditative experiences. And God's plan was reincarnation from the beginning. We actually come to this earth to learn, overcome. Struggles occur because it makes you grow. And the whole goal of these lives is sort of wrapped up in what Isabella called the five simple rules, which is if you live a life without conceit, jealousy, selfishness, and unforgiveness, and make all of your joy, your intentions and choices out of love, you can actually overcome karma, as we would call it, or overcome the human condition, and which will allow us to return back. But it takes most of us many lives. It's not one life, one chance. You screw up, you go to hell.
There is no hell.
That's the lesson of religion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the lesson of religion. This is a lesson
of love.
Of love. And if you're a scientist,
that's the type of religion. That's the type of religion I can get behind. And yes. You know what? That is because a lot of religion nowadays does teach intolerance
and
sometimes.
Fear.
Yes.
Yes, it's part control. And here's the you know, we talk about God and they always say omniscient and all loving and all powerful and all forgiving and all. Well, why would that God put a condition on your salvation? That God says, I'll create you with your consciousness that science is looking at, and your consciousness will grow and overcome the human condition and return home with experience so that you have shared communication ability. That's really what part of this life experience is about. Without any shared experience, we have nothing to talk about. That's what communication is.
I don't know if this is going to be a dumb question or not, but, and this is a serious question. Like, have you ever talked to anybody that has brought up a past life that was not a human, maybe an extraterrestrial? You know, if God is controlling over everything, the whole universe and all that good stuff, like, is there other life out there? Have you ever come in contact with somebody that said, oh, I had a past life as a person on a different planet?
I have come across people who say that. We went back in all of our past lives, and there are 42 for me, 34 for Carla, 29 of them that we had together, which is one of the reasons our story is interesting. And our lives all start about 6,000 years ago.
Wow.
Now, here's what Isabella has tried to explain, my spirit guide. Certainly people have experiences that they cannot explain. Certainly there is the potential for life on other planets that we have not yet discovered. However, our lives, people that see these strange past lives that could be considered out of this world are experiencing the heavenly realm or the spiritual realm. And because they have very limited experience there, and because that world is more
telepathic, they can't decipher it.
They can't decipher it. So they don't know what they're experiencing. They see lights, crystalline experiences. They see faces and shapes that are humanoid without eyes. Mm. These are all experiences of spiritual beings. And if you read the research that they've done on kids, these kids all report that in between their lives, they had spiritual experiences where they met creatures or spiritual beings that helped them, and they couldn't describe their appearance because they were beings of light or beings without eyes or spirits. This is the same experience that I think many people have when they have out-of-body experiences, when they have meditative experiences, NDEs. They experience
NDEs.
Near-death experience.
Oh, okay, I got you. I just wanted my audience to you know, understand that.
Yes. And near-death experiences, they experience spiritual beings, family members that they see again, powerful lights. Past life reviews happen frequently with people with NDEs and people who have past life regression. And they see the life they've had before and what they've done wrong and what they have to improve on.
And this is a question I just thought of. Okay. My dad just recently passed away 6 months ago.
Sure.
Do past lives ever overlap with people that you left behind? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, has anybody that you knew before you, has anybody talked about coming across somebody that had passed away and coming across that person while that person's still living?
No. And if you talk to those people who do spiritual mediumship, they never talk to somebody in heaven who's there, who's not there. They don't talk to people who are on this earth because they're connecting to another realm.
But Patrick, you could be, your father could come to you with a message.
Correct.
But I mean, all right. So let me ask you though, do you get a certain amount of lives that you live? Because I'm a big Doctor Who fan and they only get 11 regenerations on the TV. I know this sounds stupid, but
I understand that.
Yeah. So they only get 11 regenerations. So do you got like a limit on how many past lives you can live?
The answer to that is no. Isabella has told us that there are many people that have lives in the 60 lives and up
what's
to 100.
Oh, 100.
Up to 100. We've heard that that's potential, but that would mean that you had many short lives.
Yeah, because death, I mean, your life expectancy back in the day was not that great. So, you know,
And actually, people have asked this question, Patrick. They romanticize the old lives and say, oh, it couldn't be better if we went back to a simpler time. They don't understand that a simpler time meant you got up at 6 a.m. in the morning and you searched all day till you found some food, that some days you went to bed hungry, that you fought every day for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you died younger of disease that nobody could fight, you know, no medical care, those kind of things.
It depends on how naughty you are, whether you're coming back for multiple lives. If your nose is clean and you're trying to be loving and compassionate and kind, then you won't have that many lives. But if you are conceited and jealous and selfish and unforgiving, you're going to come back, whether it's a short life or a long life, because you need to figure that out. If we don't all experience what everybody else is experiencing, how can we have compassion for them?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, look, I'm always the type of person that likes to learn new things. You know, I'm not one of those people that come on and have a guest on and be like, no, you're wrong, you're wrong. No, I like I said, like I told you guys, I'm not that big of a religious person. Do I believe in a higher power? Yeah, of course, because I can't prove that it doesn't exist. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I like to like learn everything that I can. If people want to learn more about you guys, tell my audience before you guys, before I take off, how they can find the book and your website again.
Our website is thegiftofpastlives.com. Our books are all listed on there with the links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other English outlets.
But remember that during COVID, a lot of the small bookstore owners have taken a large hit. If you can order from a local bookstore, the little guy, please do it. They can get our books just as easy as the other person, the big people.
Yes. I completely agree with that 100%. You know, support small business whenever you can.
Yes.
Well, guys, I hope you have a wonderful new year and stuff. And I would definitely love to have you guys on again. It's just my voice is starting to go really bad. And I really appreciate you guys giving me some time and I would love to have you on again.
Thank you. Our pleasure. We hope you feel better, Patrick.
Yep. Take care, Patrick, and rest.
All right. Hey, thank you, David and Carla. I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover services brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.